Xinqing Zhu and that the Japanese officer in charge of the operation had been executed after the war. Incidents of desertion and rebellion by Manchukuo army troops were by no means rare at the time, and although it was rather strange to have the murdered Chinese cadets dressed in baseball uniforms, this could have happened as well. Knowing such facts, Cinnamon might have combined them with the image he had of his grandfather and made up his own story. But why had Cinnamon written such stories, and why stories? Why not some other form? And why had he found it necessary to use the word chronicle in the title? I thought about these things while sitting on the fitting room sofa, turning a colored design pencil over and over in my hand. I would have had to read all 16 stories to find the answers to my questions, but even after a single reading of number 8, I had some idea, however vague, of what Cinnamon was pursuing in his writing. He was engaged in a search for the meaning of his own existence, and he was hoping to find it by looking into the events that had preceded his birth. To do that, Cinnamon had to fill in those blank spots in the past that he could not reach with his own hands. By using those hands to make a story, he was trying to supply the missing links. From the stories he had heard over and over again from his mother, he derived further stories in an attempt to recreate the enigmatic figure of his grandfather in a new setting. He inherited from his mother's stories the fundamental style that he used, unaltered in his own stories, namely the assumption that fact may not be truth, and truth may not be factual. The question of which parts of a story were factual and which were not was not a very important one for Cinnamon. The important question was not what his grandfather did, but what his grandfather might have done. He learned the answer to this question as soon as he succeeded in telling the story. His stories employed wind-up bird as a key phrase, and they almost certainly brought the narrative up to the present day in the form of a chronicle, or perhaps not in the form of a chronicle. But wind-up bird was not a term invented by Cinnamon. It was a phrase spoken by his mother, Nutmeg, in a story she told me in the Aoyama restaurant where we ate together. Nutmeg almost certainly did not know at that time that I had been given the name Mr. Wind-Up Bird, which meant that I was connected with their story through some chance combination of circumstances. I could not be certain of this, however. Nutmeg could possibly have known that I was called Wind-Up Bird. The words might have affected her story, or rather, their story, might have eaten their way into it on an unconscious level. This story, jointly possessed by mother and son, might not exist in a single fixed form, but could go on changing and growing, as a story does in oral transmission. Whether by chance or not, the wind-up bird was a powerful presence in Cinnamon's story. The cry of this bird was audible only to certain special people who were guided by it towards inevitable ruin. The will of human beings meant nothing then, as the vet always seemed to feel. People were no more than dolls set on tabletops, the springs in their backs wound up tight, dolls set to move in ways they could not choose, moving in directions they could not choose. Nearly all within range of the wind-up bird's cry were ruined, lost. Most of them died, plunging over the edge of the table. Cinnamon had very likely monitored my conversation with Kumiko. He probably knew everything that went on in this computer. He had waited until I had finished before presenting me with the story of the Wind-Up Bird Chronicle. This had not happened by chance or a sudden whim. Cinnamon had programmed the machine with a definite purpose in mind and shown me one story. He had also made sure I knew that there might possibly exist a whole huge cluster of stories. I lay down on the sofa and looked at the ceiling of the fitting room in the half-dark. The night was deep and heavy, the neighborhood painfully quiet. The white ceiling looked like a thick white cap of ice that had been set on top of the room. Cinnamon's grandfather, the nameless vet, and I had a number of unusual things in common. A mark on the face, a baseball bat, the cry of the wind-up bird. And then there was the lieutenant who appeared in Cinnamon's story. He reminded me of Lieutenant Mamiya. Lieutenant Mamiya had also been assigned to Kwantung Army headquarters in Xinjiang at that time. The real Lieutenant Mamiya, however, was not a paymaster officer, but belonged to